It's a typically peaceful morning on Ustupu, one of the 365 islands in the Cunayala archipelago off the east coast of Panama. It's still early. The humidity and heat haven't enveloped the island yet. Some local tribesmen make their way into the forest past the mangroves. Carrying machetes, they trek up to a clearing at the top of a hill to a banana plot surrounded by wide canopies. White cranes fly above, resting occasionally on the treetops. Marcos Ramirez, a Kuna tribesman in his mid-50s, points to his plot as he explains their use.
Here we planted 6,000 banana trees. We calculated that's good to feed 10 families for a year. We planted them together a few years ago, and we harvest together.
Ustupu's mainland forest occupies 1,300 square miles along the Caribbean. That's where the Kuna have been farming for hundreds of years. The Kuna are one of 8 indigenous communities in Panama, but the only group with sovereignty over their territory. Their land tenure is written into the Panamanian constitution. Their collective farming goes back many generations. The Kuna harvest in cycles before letting the forest regrow. At least 20 families live off the plants the men grow here. Andres de Leon, another Kuna tribesman, explains how the collective works.
Back on Ustupu Island, we also have a little store with 10 people. We do everything together. We share the food we grow, the motorboat, the profits.
A study by World Resources Institute suggests that the Kuna's farming method is more sustainable than other farming methods. Land held by local communities and indigenous peoples, it says, tends to be significantly less impacted by deforestation than land managed by governments or companies. Tomás de León, a community leader in his late 80s, says conservation is an intrinsic part of Kuna culture.
All plants in Kuna culture have a role to fulfill, to support humanity. This is why Kuna people take care of all things that surround them, because there may come a time when nature will be useful to man, when disease or bad weather strikes.
The Kuna have farmed this way for centuries, but their way of life has come under increasing threat. Over the past several years, severe rains have caused regular flooding on many islands. Sea level has risen to an estimated 2 centimeters each year due to climate change. This is forcing many Kuna families to consider leaving their islands and to move to the mainland forests. There are no solid plans or funding for such a move yet, but as tides continue to rise, relocation for the some 30,000 people living on the islands in the next 30 years seems inevitable. At the local town hall in Ustupu Island, global warming and its impacts are now a topic of regular discussion among the Kuna. In their weekly meetings, or congresos as they call them, Kuna elders now sing songs about changing weather patterns and how rising temperatures are hurting their crops. And until recently, leaders would also meet regularly to discuss an international climate mitigation program that was expected to be implemented in their territory, also known as Cunayala. It's called RED, Reducing Emissions from Deforestation and Forest Degradation. In collaboration with the UN, wealthier nations would agree to pay the custodians of tropical forests, people like the Kuna, to preserve them. But the Kuna wondered about the logistics of the program and whether being part of it could mean losing their rights to their forest in the name of conservation. For the Kuna people, forests are sacred. They have no monetary value. After more than 3 years of deliberations, the Kuna decided they didn't want to sign on to RED. They were the first indigenous community in the world to reject this, despite the monetary incentives. William Boyd, a professor of law at the University of Colorado, says the Kuna shouldn't have to commodify their trees.
I do think there is something sort of sad and tragic about that at one level. On the other hand, I think it's also the case that if we can't create a system of incentives to try to keep those forests standing, it's going to be very difficult in a world that is headed towards 9 billion people. And if you can't somehow create protections for or put a value on standing forests, it's going to be hard, I think, to keep them standing.
Boyd is the project leader for the Governor's Climate and Forest Task Force, a collaboration between 22 provinces and 7 countries that are working to develop regulatory frameworks to reduce emissions from deforestation and land use. He says RED should be seen as one of multiple global solutions to reducing carbon emissions, one that works for each community's needs, not a top-down approach.
The land question looks different for indigenous people in Panama than it looks for ejidos in Mexico, than it looks for smallholders in Brazil. It's a very complicated set of questions, right, in every jurisdiction, and it's different in every jurisdiction. And I think if it's going to work, it's going to have to get worked out in a way that protects the rights and interests of these different communities.
For forest-dwelling indigenous peoples around the globe, there's a fear that signing onto RED means losing their land in the name of conservation. They worry it would mean restricted access to their resources and that funds would go to country governments instead of them. So the decision not to sign on to the RED program has made the Kuna something of a model for bottom-up approaches to conservation and land rights. Earlier this year, leaders on the island of Ustupu welcomed more than a dozen other indigenous representatives from around the world, from Kenya to Ecuador, to the Cunayala archipelago, to talk about their views of nature and forest conservation. Casey Box is executive director of Land is Life, a New York-based indigenous rights collective that organized the conference.
Cunayala was a very simple choice for our participants. You know, has the most sovereignty out of any indigenous group in the world, has been blessed by a very good history and a good governing structure, and especially around climate change, they've been taking very outspoken actions.
But even as men like Marcos Ramirez and Andres de Leon continue to practice Kuna traditions that are in harmony with the forest, sea level rise remains a very real threat for them. In the meantime, many island communities have had to use pebbles from the mainland rivers to keep the sea at bay. Within a generation, their families will likely have to move to the mainland, to the very same forest they have managed to preserve for hundreds of years. Ruxandra Guiri, Cunayala, Panama.